Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about a gruesome murder this week.
Yeah, we had two of those this October. I don't think we went into it being like, we're going to just do
murder,
a double
murder,
dose
murder.
Of murder.
It is. As I said, I mean, this is one that has stuck with me and stayed on my mind for several years. And I don't know, it just felt important for that reason. There were a few things I wanted to mention that, as I said during the episode, this is one of those cases where there is a lot of coverage of it. So like to minutia, just day to day, long articles being written about like every single thing the suspects were doing in custody and the weird things they were saying and contradicting each other. So I was trying to pare it down because it was going to run really long otherwise. But I did want to revisit a couple of points in it. One, just in case anyone listening was like, huh, how'd that work? This was a time when it was perfectly legal to buy cocaine from a drugstore.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It came up a couple of times and I was like, yeah, they were just going to get that from the pharmacy.
Yeah, just could go grab some, you know.
Not even like there are still medical uses for cocaine. Mm-hmm. There's just like an over the counter situation.
Yes, this was not
added to various things.
No barrier to purchase there. Another thing I wanted to talk about, there's a detail that came up in the description of the body that we didn't really revisit. We sort of mentioned a thing that might have eased people's minds about it. There is a mention that the top of her dress is open.
Mm-hmm.
But then the coroner's inquest did not find any indication of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And what most people came to believe was that Scott Jackson was looking for anything like a letter, any kind of evidence that would tie him to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And that that was really what he was after in taking off her corset and looking under her dress.
Yeah. It is possible for a person to be sexually assaulted and not have a lot of physical evidence left behind.
True.
And with the entire crime scene having been trampled and souvenirs taken and stuff like that before, which is a running theme. I thought about that as I was reading that part of the outline for the first time. I remembered one time we talked about if we had a time machine, we'd go back in time and like stop people from trampling all the crime scenes.
We'll just go back in time and introduce the idea of crime scene tape way earlier than it existed.
And somebody was like, you wouldn't go back in time and try to stop the crime from happening. And I was like, sure, that would be better. But what I was thinking of in that moment was like, how consistently for so long, like we have so many episodes where we talk about, and then the crime scene was completely trampled and people took away all kinds of souvenirs from it. So I am reluctant to like, 100% get behind any of the like physical evidence part of the coroner's inquest.
Yeah, I mean, I think I felt more comfortable with it because there were two of them,
mm-hmm.
right? Done, I believe, by two different coroners. So, I mean, granted, two people can miss the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Will Wood, so her second cousin,
mm-hmm.
he is a weird character to consider in all of this. One, because some accounts suggest that he had been kind of sweet on her, but mm-hmm. she was not interested in him before any of this happened. Obviously, Scott Jackson tries to implicate him as actually having been the father of her child.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said in the episode he kind of vanishes from the historical record, like, he definitely vanishes from the Cincinnati and Newport, Kentucky area. There are in paper some sightings of him in other places, or people that people think are him, because friends of Scott Jackson and Alonzo Walling actually wanted him to also be prosecuted for the crime.
Mm-hmm.
And even after the executions, they were still trying to find him. I don't know that anybody ever did. And here's why. there's a point of diminishing returns when you are looking at old historical records and papers, because William Wood is not an uncommon name. So at that point, it was like, well, here are 17,000 hits. I'm not sure I have time to go through all that.
Yeah.
So that's why I will confess I did not go down that rabbit hole. Perhaps one day. Does it seem real squirrely that he took off right after they were like, we'll charge you with this much lesser crime and mm-hmm. kind of slap on the wrist situation? Yeah, I think that's super, super dicey. But we don't know what happened there. I also mentioned in the episode that I would explain why, to me, there is an odd sort of comfort is not the right word, but there is an odd sort of reassurance to me in examining these things. And here is why. I hope I don't sound like an utter ghoul. I feel like pretty sensitive to any such things like this happening. But I think there is always, I mean, we've seen it in many historical accounts of various events going on of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
People always think their time is the worst time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can look back in history and say, no, no, horrible things were always happening. It is obviously bad that they have always been happening, but the fact that humans have continued to endure and do some good things, despite this always having kind of been the condition, gives me an odd sort of like hope. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like I am just a broken person looking for happiness and ghoulishness? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think, right, like, we always want to be like, it has never been as bad as it is now. We are dealing with, you know, modern crime statistics. We get all of that information all the time. We feel like every day is a danger.
Yeah.
And surely that's the case for any living thing, just because. Yeah.
We get a lot more information now, and we get a lot more information faster now.
Yes.
And in a lot of ways, it is inescapable. And, you know, unless you want to stay totally off the internet, which we increasingly live in a world where the day-to-day necessities of life are conducted on websites. So it's, like, real hard to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different for me than the kind of thing that happens. You know, there are lots of psychological theories and studies about how people watching horror films offers like a release of that natural anxiety that comes with life. This is a little different because it contextualizes human behavior as almost a constant in some ways,
mm-hmm.
that makes it seem like, well, okay, there have always been horrible people. So there have also always been good people. Like, we can keep trying to make the good stuff more prominent. I know it's odd, like I said, oddly reassuring to mm-hmm. consider it. I also am one of those people who is a little uncomfortable with recent history true crime.
Oh, sure.
I think we've talked about this before because, you know, those are often immediately stories that are immediately impacting people connected to them.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go back, you know, 130 years, there may certainly still be descendants of those families, but it's not quite as fresh a wound that is perhaps jarring and something that people live through and live with.
Yeah. There have definitely been multiple true crime podcasts about like recent crimes and recent murders whose families, like the families of the victims have been like, hey, this actually sucked to have my loved one's death become popular entertainment.
Yeah.
So yeah, it feels a little different when we're looking at something that happened more than a century ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little easier. I mean, that's the whole reason, right? That Criminalia is a historical true crime show.
Right.
Because we can talk about those things with a little bit more levity and a little less, feeling a little less voyeuristic because it is like not anybody. That person was 300 years ago, I think. We're okay. We're safe. Anyway, sorry that our Halloween episode wasn't jolly.
Well,
if I had done this month better planning-wise, this would have come earlier and we might have ended on jack-o'-lanterns.
Well, we have not exactly a bonus episode of Halloween, but the episode that is coming out on the Wednesday of the week of this one is Marie-Anne Adelaide Lenormand. So that is somewhat still kind of Halloween-y. Like, I had originally thought of it as an October episode, but it got bumped into November, so it's kind of like there's a lot of French Revolution in it, but not quite as grim as this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll hear about that episode in, like, 5 more seconds. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about Marie-Anne Adelaide Lenormand.
Oh, I love her.
Yet we mostly pronounced it in a French-ish way, even though most people, I only found one person who was like a person who works with these decks who said the deck name in a French way. Almost universally, everyone just said Lenormand in regards to like the cartomancy decks. And some of those, I watched a number of videos of people sort of doing readings and doing tutorials about how to do readings and things like that. And it just, a number of them were like, if you do tarot, if you read tarot, like a lot of times, I'm paraphrasing, you're sort of interpreting, there might be sort of a subjective kind of intuitive quality to all of it. But the Lenormand cards have specific meanings. And so they were like, this deck will be very direct with you. So don't ask it a question you don't want a direct answer to. And you might not like the answer.
Right.
And that will just be how it is. So I feel like we talked about this some in our tarot episode. Like, I'm not a practitioner of any of these things. But I have used similar things as sort of like an exercise, like a
meditation
creative
tool,
exercise, or a meditation tool or something like that. So I found all of that really interesting. I will also note, we didn't say this in an episode, apparently she is a character, or at least someone who appears in Assassin's Creed Unity. That is not one of the Assassin's Creed games I have played, so I don't know anything about it.
I feel like we could say that about almost any historical figure at this point.
So many. Yeah.
They are jam-packed into those games.
There is a brand new Assassin's Creed game that I have not played at all because I'm still playing Baldur's Gate 3.
I haven't had time to play video games in so long, and I miss them. Yeah. But when I play, it's usually like Star Wars Lego.
So, yes. Yeah, I, as I said, I've tried to start on this episode so many times, and every time it's been like, oops, not going to be October anymore. Got to save this for next year. I'm actually kind of glad about that because I'm having trouble with research. And also kind of in the back of my mind, there's been, maybe next year, Tracy, we'll be able to read French well enough to read some of these French language sources. I still cannot read French well enough. Although, in my defense, I have been studying more Spanish over the last 6 months or so, so that I can hope not totally lost when we go to Barcelona, which this episode I think will be coming out. I will be in Barcelona, able to say such things as where's the bathroom and my name is Tracy.
I learned that from Bob's Burgers. Like, I learn everything from, because there's a song where Tina sings about it.
I tried to learn a little Italian before we went to Italy last year, and I found trying to switch from French to Italian for some reason just brain melting in a way that Spanish versus French has not really happened. And I don't know if that's because I did learn a very tiny amount of Spanish as a kid. Also, I mean, living in the United States at this point, we're just surrounded by a lot of Spanish and a lot of day-to-day lives that we might not even really recognize in terms of like food, Taco Bell commercials, like just even if you don't personally know somebody who speaks Spanish at home, I feel like there's just a lot more Spanish out in our lives than a lot of other languages.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I think it's a question.
Okay.
I feel like the guy at a con who is like, this is more of a comment than a question. And I'm trying to put this together because my brain is spinning on this as I'm asking it. I was struck, we mentioned in the episode twice, the word jeu, which is game.
Which is where
she asked clients if they wanted the grand ou petit jeu, the big game or the little game. And then the decks were called the game. And I thought of two things. One, this is interesting because tarot, which gets used for divination, we talked about in our tarot episode, started strictly as a game and then got kind of used for divination. And still you can play the game of tarot in some places in France, but that also this may have been terminology that was used to obfuscate the fact that it was divination.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
To avoid legal problems. Like even when she sat down with someone and did their reading, if the place got raided and she was busted, she could say, I asked them if they wanted to play a game.
Yeah. Maybe.
And I had never thought of it before until just today while we were reading
this. Either. And like, she did write a lot of books about like divination and that kind of thing. And what I found, like English translations of were mostly like her books about Marie Antoinette. Not so much the things that were specifically about cartomancy, as I understand it though, because, her nephew who inherited all of her, property had religious objections to what she was doing. As I understand it, like he destroyed all of her actual cards. And so we don't really know specifically what the cards she was using were like. So I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Was it also, and I could look this up, I'm sure, but I'm not 100% sure where I would start. Was it illegal to write about it, or was it just illegal to practice it? Because those would be two different things.
I tried to get more specific information about what the actual law was. Because I just kept reading fortune telling was illegal. And it was a very general statement. Like, there wasn't a specific citation of which law was in play.
Right.
And so I started trying to find more specific detail, and I did not have success with that. I also found some contradictory stuff about, like, what administrations was it illegal under?
Right. Well, and I know this actually came up in Criminalia, because there have been a few episodes where we have talked about fortune tellers, and specifically in France. And if I recall correctly, part of why you are probably having difficulty finding any kind of specificity is that the laws were pretty terse and very open to interpretation in terms of, like, it is illegal to predict, to engage in prediction or something as simple as that, which is very, like, nebulous and fluffy and easy to invoke when you needed it. But it, I am wondering if it would have been nebulous enough that there would have been an exclusion of written examinations of the ideas versus, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty brazen to write a biography of someone you knew who died where you make up a lot of stuff.
Yeah. My impression of that is that a lot of it is, like, fanciful. And that's like one of the big, difficulties of working on this episode at all is that a lot of the stuff that we know about her comes from what she said about herself. And so if I made my living as a fortune teller, and there were big dramatic world events happening, and then I wrote a book about my career,
I would 100% claim that I had predicted all that biz.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's all the things that I wrote before the revolution started. So, I don't know. I find her very interesting, and all of the writing about her interesting and sometimes funny. And that whole thing about the Earl of Stirling, I think it was a headache. That was the only unfun thing of reading in all of this. And I was reading it and I was like, there's so many pages of this and I don't fully understand what's happening. And she was involved with it. Had a lot of letters. And I have that, like, question in the back of my mind of, like, would he have gone after this so hard had he not had a fortune teller being like, oh yes, you're going to go through some trials, but then you're definitely going to become very important.
Right. I literally am a little obsessed in my head trying to figure out if I can redecorate a room in my house to look like her fortune-telling room.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. The magic words, wax fruits, were uttered. And I don't know. There's something so odd and wonderful about true wax fruits, not what we call wax fruit today that's actually plastic, but true wax ones that I love. There's a translucency to them that I'm really obsessed with visually. But this also sounds great to me. And the whole thing of, like, it was so busy, your eye couldn't settle on any place that wasn't busy. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like my house. I love all of this. I love all of this.
I think the only thing that really disturbed me about it was the idea of having bats on the walls pinned up by their wings. And I was like, I'm assuming these are either, like, fake bats or taxidermied bats, but
surely,
bats are so cute that I was like, oh, but the bat, like,
I presume they must be fake or taxidermied. And we don't really know if his description of how they were hung is accurate either. Right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I also love bats and have a lot of bat things in my house, so I'm halfway there, really. I mean, I actually am. It's, I would not have to buy many things to create this room. I'll just put it that way. I would just have to collect things that are scattered about into one place. The thing I would have to buy would be maple furniture, because I know every time I say this, people look at me like I have questionable taste, intellect, I don't know what. I do not like wood grain anything.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. So I don't have any maple furniture, but I could get some. In the service of creating her fortune-telling room, I would do it.
Well, I look forward to your work-in-progress photos.
I don't know where I'd put it. That's the problem. Like,
yeah,
our rooms are accounted for. I can't build another room on the house. And then I'm like, maybe I could. Like,
Wow. If you're going to work on turning a room of your house into a reproduction of Mademoiselle de Normand's salon, send us your work in progress pictures or pictures of your pets in Halloween costumes or not in Halloween costumes, or, you know, just a cute bumblebee you saw outside. Any of these things are great. Whatever's coming up on your weekend, I hope that's great too. We will be back with a brand new episode on Monday. First, we'll have our Saturday classic tomorrow. Stop. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.